Okay, now the immune system. The thymus PMG. Now, which one we could say is primary? Well, in some cases, we could say spleen is most important. In other cases, it would be thymus. In other cases, the marrow. But for most of our acute infectious cases, we have to support the thymus. Now, up until just really until AIDS, how were most Western-trained physicians, what was their view of the thymus?
Useless.
Useless. Take it out. Put in a microwave. Get a bookshelf in there. Do something, you know, worthwhile. Well, AIDS has demonstrated how clearly wrong we, the ubiquitous we, are. An unpublished NIH report that they just wouldn't put out indicated that those that were tested positive for AIDS did not develop full-blown AIDS until there was complete thymic involution. Until the thymus shut down, they didn't manifest full-blown AIDS. And so suddenly they began to rethink the importance of this little teeny walnut-sized gland. And what they've come to recognize is what Lee and Price and others had been saying decades earlier, was the thymus in the newborn is tabula rasa. It's a computer chip that has some fundamental programming, but it needs to be exposed to its current environment to get the rest. That's a pretty good idea. Let's get some basic programming. Here are some fundamental bad bugs. But we don't know what your environment is outside right now. So you get out and let's get to work. Should children have infectious responses? Of course, they've got to. They need to. What we did with our kids, now this will sound really cruel, that's okay, because it was. Because our kids were well fed, what I'd like to do was get them exposed to everything as quickly as possible.
Right.
I'm serious. Now, I'll deny this. It's kind of hard, it's on tape. But now, my name is Mark Anderson. Teasing. Now, what I would do is when especially with Christopher, when he was really feeling good and healthy and everything was fine, I'd find out, like other kids at the church who are sick, guess who I wanted to babysit?
That mother.
I wanted him over at that house, truly. Now, what would happen was this. Now, that's because he was well-fed and we were checking his spine regularly. Let's get this sucker programmed really fast. It was an experiment. So we would give him Catalan, lots of whatever he wanted, and we'd take him over, and here's what would happen. No, you can't bring him over. We're lepers. Great. Haven't had that yet. Just pick up the parts. We'll be over soon. And what would happen is, for about 24 hours, he would get a little runny nose or whatever, and almost always he would get an atlas, left atlas. We would keep him adjusted, give him unlimited Conjuplex, Catalan, and he'd kind of regulate his own dose, and then gone the next day. Now, what we've done is, the thymus says, thank you very much, there's one that won't be a problem again. Next, we're looking around for sick babies. You, snot nose, come here, kiss him. And he now, apparently, is by far the healthiest in the family from an immune standpoint. When anything new comes around that has everybody else down, he'll deal with it because there's got to be this period of programming and getting the immune response. But amazingly quickly, everybody else in the house is near death except Christopher. He's 4 and he's cooking dinner for everybody. It's interesting to see what we eat, but nevertheless, it happens. Well, you bad dog, you. Yeah, well, let's do it this way. Let's do it the American way. Rather than exposing them and letting the immune system naturally respond and feeding the patient, how about this? Let's cut a hole in them and let's inject the bug so that the body can do it totally unnaturally. Let's let the pathogen get in, having bypassed all of the normal mechanisms, so that there is no possible chance of dealing with this naturally. And let's say, go for it, dude. See what you can do with this. Ah, they'll say, yes, that would be silly if we put in the live pathogen. So we'll kill it, sort of. We'll kind of kill it, or at least we think we've killed it. Or we're pretty sure we've killed it because not too many people die when we do this. Well, now that gets us into the whole issue of vaccination.
Yeah.
Now, I must give you a legal answer. My advice to you officially and legally is don't touch this in your office. In California, the fastest way to lose your license and spend time with clothing provided and food is to tell a patient, do not vaccinate. Lawyers circle the building with antennae waiting for you to say that. So, I don't know, I'm in Colorado. Can you do it here? I don't know. Okay. A personal exemption? Okay. I'm just saying be careful with your state law. There are many sides to that issue, and there's lots of good information. But certainly from our viewpoint, this is just not the optimum procedure. So anyway, I talk to parents about doing this. They'll come in and they say, well, we're on our way to Kaiser to get the shots. Now in California, I'm handcuffed. If I say, don't do that, then there's no case. The jury wouldn't even sequester. They would just look at each other and nod and say, hang them. So I'm very limited in what I can do. The only way in many states that you can address that issue is this. I can't just have in my office all anti-vaccination material because it makes me responsible for having said that. If it's in my office, I said that just by having it there. So the only way I can safely do it is to have both sides. I've got to have the Kaiser pamphlets, and I can have other stuff, but I've got to have them there and together so that both sides are presented. Well, that's not an unreasonable thing, is it? I don't have a problem with that. Here's the official presentation. Here is another view. You make your choice. I am not advocating either one because I've put both out, but I do want you to be well informed.
Could you have your kids take them to school as Valentine's?
Take them to school as Valentine's, yeah. So I don't want to go there because that can get you in legal trouble. All right, but now, for the thymus, the PMG, immune insufficiency. Now remember, the protomorphogen is going to have a long-term rebuilding, stabilizing effect. It's not a right-now response. We have Thymex, the cytosol extract, which is more rapidly acting. We'll go there. But I'm talking about the chronic immune insufficient case. You know, they're just always dealing with this. Let's support and help rebuild the thymus. If there is excessive natural tissue antibody choking growth and repair, then I'm using it on that basis, which is the dominant case. Or if there has been this genetic weakness, it's just never been able to fully develop, then 1-3 thymus PMG, perhaps for a lifetime, will be necessary. We get two actions in one. And sometimes it doesn't matter which one it is. The result is the same in either case. So immune insufficiency. But watch this. Myasthenia gravis and the muscular dystrophies, in particular, thymus PMG. In this case, not Immuplex, even though thymus PMG is in there. It's just one of many things in Immuplex. So for myasthenia gravis and the muscular dystrophies, and perhaps by extension, all neuromuscular degenerative diseases. That's a guess. But by extension, perhaps thymus PMG applies to all of them, then certainly you want to use 6 thymus PMG. That's going to be a long term for these degenerative cases. I have no reason to believe more will work better. You can try that, but I'm not trying to have them overdo it. Hyperthyroidism. There is a vestigial connection, a relationship between thymus and thyroid. In many cases of hyperthyroidism, it is that way because of a deficient or dysfunctional thymus. By normalizing thymic activity, the thyroid returns to normal. That was a compensatory reaction. 2 tablets 3 times per day with meals. For most of us, the cases where we need it are pretty obvious, but we wouldn't think necessarily of myasthenia gravis and the dystrophies or thyroid cases. So that's the PMG. Now,